you have your Bible, you can open up to Psalm 119. If you don't have one, there's some in the pews in front of you. Feel free to take one of those. And if you need one at home, feel free to take one with you. Psalm 119, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We just looked at a few verses in Psalm 119, and we talked about God's Word and what it is, what the Word declares it to be, and what also what we've come to know it to be based off of our own experiences by reading it. And this morning, we're going to look at a few things, and we'll pick up next week, and we'll continue looking at along the same lines. But why do we study God's Word? Why should we study God's Word? And understand this, it's probably an important thing to probably something I should have mentioned last week, but forgot to. But one of the things to remember about when we look at God's Word is it's the Holy Spirit does the greatest work as we read the Bible. You know, we need to pick it up, but we need the Holy Spirit to help to understand the Bible and to understand how we're to apply it to our lives. Paul makes it known in Corinthians that if to read the Bible apart from God's Word, it sounds foolishness and it makes no sense to us. Paraphrasing what he says, but that's we need to understand that for if we say here non. Person who doesn't believe or who's outside the faith, pick up this Bible and read it. For them to understand it, you're asking for something that is altogether impossible if they don't have the Holy Spirit. And so that's why it's important for us to read it and understand it. And as they read things, because we have the Spirit, we can go and study the same things and help to explain certain passages to them. And so I think it's important that I make that known. I think it's also important to understand that if you are seeking God, And you are searching for God, and you're searching for something that's missing. I would still encourage you to pick up the Bible because it's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit can work in your life and show you who God is and lead you to an understanding of who God is, that you would trust in Him, trust in Christ to be your Savior, and receive the Holy Spirit, which would open up more understanding of what the Scripture teaches. But today, as we look at this, I really look at it from through the lens of a believer, someone who has given their life to Christ and chosen to follow Christ. I mentioned last week, there's a verse in Psalm 138, verse 2. And in there, the psalmist says that you, again, I mentioned, depending which version you read, the reason I mention it is it shows the importance of God's Word. In the King James, it reads that you have placed, it's saying to God, you have placed your Word above your name. And so the name there, really the whole reputation of God. And so he says, you've placed your Word above your name. And when you read something like that, you would say, the Word is really important. A lot of people disagree with that translation. And other translations basically say that you, in Psalm 138 verse 2, that you have placed your Word alongside your name. And so either, however you look at that, understand this, that the Word of God is extremely important. God has placed it on such a high pedestal that it is right up there with His reputation. And why is that? I believe it's because it's through the Word that we come to know God. It's through the Word that we learn about God. It's through the Word that we learn about His character. It's through the Word that we learn about His name and His reputation. And so the Word of God must be exalted in our own lives. We must place a high importance in our own lives on the Word of God, which means we need to personally take time to read and study the Bible. I put a note in the bulletin and I sent an email out about the same thing, but a lot of people say, well, I want to read the Bible, I just don't know where to start. Or every time I read it, I get confused. And so we're going to set up And you don't have to do it electronically. If you want to know, basically when I start with a group, we're going to start at Matthew 1. And so for Monday through Saturday, we'll go Matthew 1 will be Monday. And then on Saturday, we'll get to Matthew 6. We'll take Sundays off. We'll pick back up Matthew 7 the following Monday. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And so we'll communicate with each other to share, because God may teach me something. He may call a certain verse out to me, but He may call out a certain verse to somebody else. And we can learn from each other as we study God's Word. And with the benefits of technology, you don't all have to be in the same place to do that. You can do it in your own time, at your own place, and still get a benefit of having some accountability in studying God's Word together. And so I encourage you, if you really struggle with maintaining a reading program, maybe this is something that will help you. So why study God's Word? Before we get started, let's stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read through some verses here in Psalm 119. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You with open hearts and open minds today, asking, Father, that You would speak to us. Father, the right wording is, Father, we should be desperate and hungry to hear the Word of God. And so, Father, I pray that You would give us hearts and minds that are open today to hearing the Word. Father, through the work of Your Holy Spirit, Father, the great interpreter, Father, would You teach us greater truths about Your Word, that it would become a part of who we are. Lord, not that we would just hear it, let it pass by us on Sunday morning, and then forget what it says, but Father, that it would take root in our lives, that we would live it out every single day of our lives, that we would bring glory and honor to Your name. Father, anoint this time, bless this time for Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119. Let me first read, flip over to verse 130, and then we're going to flip back. Verse 130 in Psalm 119 says, "The unfolding of Your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And now I'm just going to go back. I'm going to read several verses here, from starting at verse 1. "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying Your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all Your commands. I will praise You with an upright heart as I learn Your righteous laws. I will obey Your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to Your word. I seek You with all my heart. Do not let me stray from Your commands. I have hidden Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Praise be to You, O Lord. Teach me Your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from Your mouth. I rejoice in following Your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on Your precepts and consider Your ways. I delight in Your decrees. I will not neglect Your word." You can be seated. We're going to look at several verses today and cover four beginning things, and we'll build upon these in the coming weeks. But why should I study God's Word? Why should you study God's Word? And we're going to see what the psalmist says about this. The first thing that I noticed as I read through this is reading God's Word or studying God's Word brings happiness or joy, however you want to look at it. It says in verse 1 and then in verse 2, it says, "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless." We talked about this in youth group today, which the lesson lined up really well with the sermon today. But I said, well, who's blameless? And they said, well, Jesus. And I said, well, the psalmist is writing this much before Jesus ever walked the earth. And he says, blessed are they, and they is plural, right? So more than one. So who's it talking about? And the question becomes this: who can be blameless? Well, it goes on and it answers it. It says, who walk according to the law of the Lord. So to walk according to the law of the Lord, and understand this, over a period, over the span of your life, you would say, I'm not fully blameless. But there are times in your life when you walk according to the law of the Lord, and in those times you would be considered blameless. Well, you know, when you go back and read the Old Testament, it would talk about Noah was blameless in his generation. Was Noah perfectly sinless? No. Could you bring any accusation against him regarding sin? Yeah, you could find something, but there was a season of his life, and as God looked down upon the earth at that time, he saw someone who was blameless. And I believe at that point in time, unlike anyone else in all the earth, Noah was the one who was walking in the law of the Lord, who was living according to the law of the Lord. And so for us, it says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless. Are they who are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Here's the thing, happiness, blessedness, that word blessed means to be happy, to be filled with joy. How does that come? Well, you would say, well, I'm not blameless, Pastor John. I would say, but when you walk in the law of the Lord, you are. In God's eyes, at those times, you are blameless. And so, how are we going to walk in the law of the Lord? What does that look like? Well, first, where does it start? It starts with us being in the Word and knowing what the Word says. It starts with us knowing how God expects us to live. And so when we understand that, and then we begin to live that out, it leads to us being blessed, us being happy, us being joyful. We have a world that desperately searches for happiness. They'll search everywhere for happiness. They're searching sports, they'll search in their careers, they'll search alcohol, drugs, other addictions, and they'll search for anything that'll bring them happiness. And God makes it clear here through His Word that happiness, real happiness, comes from doing and living according to God's Word. And so in order for us to do that, we must know what it says. We must study God's Word. It goes on in verse 2, blessed are they who keep His statutes. Happy are they who keep His statutes. So basically, it's saying the same thing. So you got to go back, well, what's His statutes? Well, you go through and you read the Bible, and it lays out these laws, it lays out commands, charges that God gives to His people. And understanding how that looks in our day and age, and in my life, right here in Clinton, Michigan in 2015, and saying, God, I'm going to live this out in my life. And what does the psalmist say? What am I going to do? I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be happy and joyful when I do what God wants me to do. And so, first off, I think it's important to understand why I read God's Word. God's Word, reading God's Word brings happiness. And I'll add this disclaimer on it, if you do what it says. Because if you read it and you don't do what it says, you know what you're going to feel? Guilt. Shame. And so, reading God's Word brings happiness with the understanding that we must do what it says. Why else should we study God's Word? Reading God's Word transforms how we live. Reading God's Word transforms how we live. Verse 9 says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. And so, we spoke on this last week, and I'll just mention it again briefly. You know, we want our children to grow up and live pure lives. Speaking to the youth group, they're at an age when impurity is celebrated. Impurity is looked down upon. Yet we want our kids to grow up to value purity and to live pure lives. And so what do we need to do? We need to teach them to keep God's Word. To keep, it says, by living according to your Word, or by guarding or keeping your Word. And so we need to teach them what God's Word is and how to live by it. Verse 11 goes on, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Some versions said, I have treasured your Word in my heart. God's Word needs to be a treasure, something that we value so much. What do you do with things you value? You take care of them. If it's something that's really valuable that you don't wear all the time, some people put those things in a safe deposit box or they hide it somewhere. Why? Because it's of great value. They don't want anything to happen to it. And so, what do we do with God's Word? Where are we supposed to hide it? Where are we supposed to treasure it at? In our hearts. It means we need to make it a part of our lives. And I would say that looks like a few different things. One is reading God's Word and meditating on it. But I think it also looks like memorizing verses.
Verses that are important to you, that are important to your faith, so that you can recall them at any point in time. So that, if you're ever at a, in a situation and you're like, oh, what's that one verse? What's that one verse? Because I know it's going to bring me comfort, or I know it's going to help in this situation. When we commit those things to our heart and our memory, we don't have to have the physical word to recall it. God, through the Holy Spirit, God can lead us to remember those things that we have taken the time to memorize and meditate on, bring them back to our memories, and they'll help us. It transforms how we live. It says, verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it leads to a transformed life. It leads us to know and to live out a way that we don't sin against God. Now, are you ever going to live that out perfectly over the rest of your lives? Probably not. Chances are you're going to fall short in different areas. But I would dare say this, that those who read God's Word, who treasure it in their hearts, who know what the Word says, are going to be much more equipped to live a life that pleases God, because they know what He expects. They know what He wants. And ultimately, you know, many people understand this, but in case you don't, reading the Bible should not be a chore. It should not be a checklist item. We don't read the Bible because that's what I'm supposed to do. Hopefully you read the Bible because you want to know God better. You want to understand who this person is that you have entered into a relationship with, or that you're seeking a relationship with, so that He can speak to you. And then that you can respond to what He says. That's what it's about. It's coming into this relationship with God, entering into a relationship on a deeper level. The reading God's Word transforms how we live. Verse 24 says this, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. What is He saying? Your Word counsels how I live. Your Word teaches me in certain situations how I'm supposed to live, or how I'm supposed to respond. And all of this ultimately leads to a transformed life. I mean, the goal of church is not to have people come in the door, profess something that maybe they fully believe in, or maybe they don't, and then dunk them in a baptistry and then say, all right, we did our job. Hopefully our goal as church is to see people come to know Jesus Christ and have their lives radically transformed by the gospel, so that the gospel becomes so dear to them that it affects every area of their life, and they seek to know God on a deeper level because they realize the great benefits and blessings of knowing God's Word and doing God's Word. And so if we come to church and we think the goal of church is just to dunk people in a tank and count off and have another notch on our belt or something, then we've mistaken what this is about. Hopefully we understand that, man, I see that person over there broken in sin. I'm purposely not pointing to any of you. I see my neighbor, or I see my coworker, or I see my family member who's so broken and so hopeless, and I think, man, they need the gospel. The gospel can transform their life unlike anything else. They need the counsel of God's Word. We need the counsel of God's Word. And so we better spend time reading and studying God's Word. So reading God's Word brings happiness to our lives. Reading God's Word transforms how we live. Third thing, reading God's Word brings delight or rejoicing. However, some versions say it differently. I want to read this. This is all the times in that it mentions delight or rejoicing. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Just stop there. Did you hear what the psalmist said? In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. In the psalmist's heart, God's Word is worth more or as much as all of the riches in the world. How do you value God's Word? You see, much of us, we can say how much we value it. But what does your life show? If a Bible sits in your house and collects dust, or it's just a table decoration. And I know the way that, you know, you're, and when I say Bible, I'm not just talking about, it could be, you know, maybe you use your phone or your tablet or your computer as your main Bible. If, how do we show that we value it? Verse 16 says, I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 24, your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Verse 35, lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Verse 47, for I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. Where do we find our delight? I was delighted yesterday as I watched and coached my son. I was delighted yesterday as I saw the score of the Ohio State game, although I was thought it should have been higher. I was even delighted last night as I saw Michigan State won, but is that really where I define my delight? Ultimately, anything that brings me true delight, true rejoicing, if I'm honest, it comes from God's Word, because what He speaks of is eternal. And football games and other things are very, very temporary. Verse 70, their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. Verse 77, let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Verse 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. 10 times in Psalm 119, the psalmist declares that it's in God's Word, it's in His law that he finds his delight. That's what he rejoices in. When you think about this, I think you would be, the more you think about this, I think the more you'll come to understand how truthful his statements are. I mean, you can read through sections of Scripture and understand. I'm not going to say that all Scripture is easy to understand. But you'll come across passages where you are just like, I can't believe how awesome God is. I mean, you could start just at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you would say, I mean, if you stopped and think about that, it should bring us to awe. Like, the God who created everything, who spoke everything into existence out of nothing. Out of nothing, He made everything. That God is the God who desires a relationship with me? That God is the one who called me out of darkness into His glorious light? That God is the same God who adopted me as His child? We can find delight in God's Word all over the place because we see His grace, we see His mercy all over the place. You can't read through the New Testament without coming across the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth to save sinners. To take our punishment upon Himself. Ultimately, to buy our salvation. Because we couldn't do it on our own. If that doesn't bring delight to you, if that doesn't cause you to rejoice, then you need to be spiritually awoken. God's Word brings delight and rejoicing to our lives, so we need to read it and study it. I'm going to close with this one. Fourth thing today, reading God's Word sustains us in difficult times. Reading God's Word sustains us in difficult times. Here's a few verses. Verse 92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. You understand what he's saying there? The psalmist, as he writes this, he's been afflicted in different ways. And he says, had your law not been my delight, had I not treasured it so much, had I not rejoiced in it so much, had I not had it in my heart to recall, when I was afflicted, I would have died. Probably wanted to die. Verse 143, trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Do you ever face trouble and anguish in your life? This means yes, this means no. Yeah, trouble and anguish are a part of life. Some things are due to our own failings, due to our own shortcomings. We sin and there's consequences for it. Sometimes it's the result of God's testing of our faith. Sometimes we're just anguished over things that are taking place all around us. He says, trouble and anguish have found me out. They've come into my life. But your commandments are my delight. I still have a reason to rejoice. And what is he rejoicing in? God's word. And what it says. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Again, there are so many different words that the psalmist uses for the word here. And here he uses the word promise. He says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Do you have times where you just... Are you ever so... I don't know about you, but are you ever just so much in despair or in anguish or... Sometimes you just can't be consoled and the only thing that helps is a verse or remembering God's promises. You know, you could, I think of Romans 8, the end of it. And there's many things in our life where we may question and say, God, are you abandoning me? I'm facing persecution, I'm facing distress, I'm facing danger. You could go through a whole list of things. I'm facing death or life or the powers that are against me or anything. And you could say, God, have you forsaken me? And you would say, no, but the promise of that scripture is there's nothing that will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you would say, I'm going to cling to that promise. Whenever I go through any hardship, any trouble, I'm going to cling to that promise that God has not left me. God has not separated from me. If I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm still... There's nothing that can tear me away from God. Verse 71, it says, it is good for me that I was afflicted. How many of you ever say that? How many of you ever say, man, praise God for that affliction. Praise God for that hardship. Praise God for that time of grief. But this is why he says it. That I might learn your statutes. When we go through hard times, we should go to God's Word. And hopefully before you go through the hard times, you have some establishment in God's Word that it will help you through those times. Verse 107 says, I am severely afflicted. I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your Word. Notice over and over again, he needs comforted through his afflictions. He's having troubles and anguish or hardships. Where does he look every single time? The Word of God. Over and over again, he looks to the Word of God. Should that teach us something? I challenged you last week that there was a verse 5, to pray that, make that a prayer. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. I want to give you another challenge this week, maybe another prayer that you could pray. Verse 12. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. And I want to make something clear. You could say, God, teach me your decrees. And you know what God's going to, how he's going to help to answer that prayer? He's going to say, open your Bible and read it. But you should still have a heart that says, teach me. Teach me your decrees. Show me your word. Show me how I'm supposed to apply this into my life right now. Show me how I can live this out at work or at home. Teach me. Chances are in this life you've gone through hardships. You've had to persevere or endure through something. I mentioned it and I heard it from somewhere else, but you're either in the storm, you're coming out of the storm, or you're getting ready to go through a storm. Like, storms are going to happen in our life. And this is one area I would challenge you in is, when you go through those storms, what are you going to rely on? What is going to be your rock that keeps you grounded through that? And hopefully you would say Jesus Christ, and I would say amen. But what else? Hopefully it's the Word. So I would challenge you, as you read God's Word and you come across verses that are significant to you, that just speak to you on a level that maybe never has spoke to you before, to write those things down. Because when you go through tough times, when you go through hardships, the temptation is going to be, God is not with me. God has abandoned me. And you're going to be tempted to think, man, there must be an easier way than to continue to follow God. Because sometimes following God is what leads you to the hardship. And so as you learn about God, as you study God's Word, write down things that you know to be true. That God is good. That God is faithful. That God keeps His promises. And I would start writing down the promises that God has made. That God wants to bless me. And I would write down the areas that God wants to bless me. I would write down things that are going to be foundational to who I am as a Christian. So one of those verses for me is from Isaiah 55. God's ways are not our ways. For as far as that the earth or heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways. Some things we can't understand. That gives me great peace in some times. When you see young people get sick and die, when you see young people get sick from sicknesses that they shouldn't get sick from, when things happen in life that just don't make sense, that's a verse that I cling to. God, I don't understand your ways. They're so far higher than mine. And I would go back, and then one of the other things I know from reading God's Word is God is good. God always has our best interests at heart. That for the believer, God works out everything together. He works everything together for our good. And I would say, God, even though I don't understand it, I know you're good. I know you're faithful to your promises. I'm going to continue to trust in you. What is it that you know about God? And truthfully, you'll learn some things through experience from obeying God's Word. Most of what you're going to know about God comes from His Word. Do not neglect it. Let's read it. It brings us happiness. Transforms how we live. It brings us delight. And it sustains us in difficult times. And we'll talk more next week about what else it does. Let's be people of the Word. If there's ever a time that this world needed people of the Word, it's now. Let's do that. Let's be committed to His Word. Let's live it out. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. So this is your chance to respond. However God is speaking to your heart today, it's your chance to respond to Him. Maybe about salvation. Maybe you want to become His child. And so you confess your sins and you confess your belief and you commit your life to follow Him. Maybe He's speaking to you about a commitment to just study His Word more. However He's speaking to you, respond to Him this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that in Your Word we find the words of life. We find words and warnings that lead us away from death. We find words and we find the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ. Father, through Your Word we make sense of what happens in this world. Father, may Your Word be the foundation of our lives. Lord, that when we go through difficult times, when we go through trying times, when things try to shake us from our foundation in Jesus Christ, that we would cling to the hope that we find in Your Word. Father, help us to be people who live out Your Word every single day so that others would see our good deeds and give praise to our Father in heaven. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.